purple. This verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. If a mother leaves her small child in his bed or cradle and goes away to attend to some family duties, the child immediately understands that his mother has gone away and therefore he
cries.
But as soon as the mother returns and cares for the child
laughs
and becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, being always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shunya idam jagat sarvam govinda virahenale. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone away, he cries in separation, and sometimes when he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs. Just as a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking care of him. These symptoms are called bhava. In the nectar of devotion, various bhavas, ecstatic conditions of a devotee are fully described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his early life exhibited the pastime of being a scholar. He was not chanting, he was not dancing, he was not engaged in the activities of the Sankirtan movement, but he was a pundit. He was a scholar, he was a master of logic, grammar, and so on and so forth. When he was 16 years old, he went to Gaya. And in Gaya, who did he meet?
Gaya.
Who did he meet in Gaya? Which personality did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meet in Gaya? Ishwarapuri. So when Ishwarapuri met him, Ishwarapuri was a great devotee. Mahaprabhu had already met Ishwarapuri before in Navadvip, and he had already been impressed by Ishwarapuri. So in Gaya he met Ishwarapuri again. And when Ishwarapuri met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know what he said? Murkha tumi tomal nahik vedanta dhikar, Krishna mantra japa sada hei mantra sar. Nimai was the greatest pundit in the whole of India, you can say. He had just defeated Keshav Kashmiri, who was a Digvijay. Digvijay means... Dig means directions. Digvijay means to conquer all the directions. He had just defeated the scholar who had defeated everyone in all directions. There was no one greater than Nimai Pandit. Ishwarapuri looks at Nimai Pandit and says, Murkha tumi.
Idiot.
You're an idiot, yeah. You could say like that. You're an idiot, you're a fool, you're a rascal. Why? Tomar nahik Vedanta adhikar. You have no adhikar to study Vedanta. You have no qualification to understand this knowledge. You have no ability to grasp the absolute truth simply through your scholarship. What do I do then? Krishna mantra japa sada hey mantra sar. Just take this Krishna mantra, chant it constantly. A mantra sar, this chanting is the essence of everything. So that was like humbling in a nice way. And Mahaprabhu took away the mantra and he began chanting it. And then he came back after some time to Ishwarapuri and he said, Kiba mantra dile gosai kiba tarabal, japite japite mantra kurite pagal. Oh Gosai, kiba mantra, what kind of mantra haven't you given me? Kiba tarabal, how powerful is this mantra that you've given me, so much so that japite japite mantra, I'm chanting this mantra again and again, korite pagal, and I'm becoming completely
crazy.
So then, a very interesting thing happened. First thing is, Ishwarapuri looked at Mahaprabhu and said, very good, he's working. And then he said, I'm going to teach you one verse, and this one verse I'm going to teach you is the essence of the Bhagavatam. If I was to ask you, what verse do you think is the essence of the Bhagavatam, what would you say? Any ideas? What do you think, Revati Nandan Prabhu? Which verse is the essence of the Bhagavatam? If you were to choose a verse.
The first.
The first verse? Janmadyashaya Danvayode Taratas. Okay? Ramlila Mataji, what would you say? What is that? What verse do you think is important in Bhagavatam?
I have no clue.
You know so many verses in Bhagavatam. Which do you think is important?
Atmaramas Chamunayo
Nirgrantha Apirukrame. Okay, even the Atmaramas take pleasure in reading Krishna's pastimes. Okay, that's good. That's an important verse.
Shravanam Kirtanam,
the verse which has the longest purport in the Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj. Good, these good answers. What do you think, Jao? What do you think? Most important verse in the Bhagavatam.
I will read it first.
You read it first. He didn't say any of these verses. Someone may say, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That's the Parivasa Sutra of Bhagavatam. That's an important verse. No? Prabhupada, one of his probably most quoted verses from Bhagavatam, Save Pumsham Pado Dharmo. No, didn't quote that one either. You know what verse he quoted? Ishvara Puri looked at Mahaprabhu, he said, I'll teach you one verse. This verse is the essence of Bhagavatam. You know what verse? Evam vradasva priya nama kirtya jata anurago druta chitta uchir thasatyati roditi roti gayati unmada vanrityati loka bhayaha. This is amazing. Ishvara Puri looked at Mahaprabhu and said, I teach you this verse is the essence of everything in Bhagavatam. What is the essence? Evam vradasva priya nama kirtya. When you take nam and you chant it with a vrata, you worship it, you honor it, you dedicate your life to Nam, then what happens? Hasatiti, roditi, roti gayati. When you take the holy name of Krishna, you become like a madman. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry, sometimes you faint down in ecstasy. Unmadavan nityati, sometimes you dance in complete ecstasy, loka bayaha, in complete indifference to what people around you think. So this is the essence of Bhagavatam. So if someone ever asks you what's the essence of Bhagavatam, what's the goal of your philosophy, you can tell them to become mad. Because that's what Mahaprabhu said. That's what Ishvara Puri taught Mahaprabhu, and that's what Mahaprabhu taught through his life. That actually the goal of life is to become completely mad. Madly intoxicated in love for Krishna. Therefore, from the Gita to the Bhagavatam to CC, there is a very definite progression. The beginning of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna saying, you're not the body, you're the soul. That's the beginning of Gita. What's the end of Gita? Yeah. And what's the verse after that? Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam. So the beginning of Gita is, you're not the body, you're the soul. The end of Gita is, therefore, abandon all religion and surrender to me. What is the beginning of Bhagavatam? Dharma projita keita gotra paramo. This Bhagavatam rejects all cheating religion. Okay, that's where Krishna ended. That's interesting. Krishna ended, reject all cheating religion. So Bhagavatam says, this book rejects all cheating religion. And now it's going to teach you something further. Does anyone know what the final verse of Bhagavatam is? Anyone know? The final verse of the 12th canto. Nam sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranami dukkha samanas tam namami harim param. that one should ultimately just engage in Nam Sankirtan. By engaging in Nam Sankirtan, then one will free oneself of all reactions. So Bhagavatam ends, we're going to throw away all religion. It begins, we're going to throw away all religion. And ends, you must chant the holy name of Krishna. So where does Chaitanya Charitamrita begin? Apaniya chari bhakti korida prachar. Mahaprabhu says, I'll come to this world and through my own example, I'll basically teach people how to chant the holy name. So Mahaprabhu comes to teach the holy name because that's where the Bhagavatam ended. And how does the Chaitanya Charitamrita end? Japite japite mantra korite pagal. Mahaprabhu is in Gambira and he's chanting Krishna's names. He's reading Bhagavatam. And he's remembering Krishna in the mood of the gopis. And in this way he's become completely mad. That's basically the journey of spiritual life. It begins with understanding you're not the body, you're the soul. Then you reject all cheating religion. Ultimately then you take up the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And when you take up the chanting of the holy name of Krishna and you honor all aspects of devotional life, all aspects of devotional service, then eventually you become madly intoxicated with love for Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj is showing that example, that he has become completely jubilant. Sometimes he cries, sometimes he laughs, sometimes he's singing. And in this way, because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, because of that intense connection with the Lord, he's experiencing this bhava. So then Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that these are all symptoms of bhava. However, there are other symptoms of bhava. Sometimes people also get some of these symptoms. Doesn't necessarily mean they're in bhava. Sometimes you'll find someone in a Hare Krishna temple even crying. Does it mean they're in bhava? Not necessarily. One time they're in Vrindavan, isn't it? And then the devotee said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, there's someone in the Krishna Balaranta and he's rolling around on the in front of the deities, rolling in ecstasy. What shall we do? You know what Prabhupada said, right? Give him a good kick. And if he doesn't retaliate, then most likely he's in ecstasy. But most likely he will retaliate. So, just some external symptom of laughing. Oh my God. Sometimes even we also get, you know, in a kirtan, you may get hair standing on end. You may feel some, oh wow, I think I'm there. I think I'm there. These are some of the aspects of bhava, but what Rupa Goswami does in Nectar of Devotion is he also gives other symptoms of bhava. Bhava is not just an emotion. Bhava means substantial spiritual character. So in Nectar of Devotion, along with the emotional aspects of bhava, there are other aspects of bhava which manifest in the character of a pure devotee. Does anyone know what any of those symptoms may be? There are nine which qualify one to be in bhava. Yes, Prashant.
There's one of them that doesn't waste any time.
Doesn't waste any time. Very good. Let's see if we can get it between us. Anyone else? You heard the class on it already.
he's not caring for the answer of the exterior, like he's not caring for the others, how what others think.
Okay, yeah, he's having extreme humility, yeah. Extreme pridelessness, yeah, that's good. Any other?
He's not affected by external weather or conditions.
Probably that's there, but Rupa Goswami doesn't mention it as one of the nine. But that obviously that's there. Does anyone know what other symptoms of bhava are there? How will one know? Prabhupada often quoted these because these can also be used as a measure for a devotee as to how much they're advancing in their spiritual life.
Detachment?
Detachment? Very good. Yes, detachment is one of them. Any others?
Strong attachment to hearing Krishna Katha.
Strong attachment to hearing Krishna Katha, yes. Okay, so let me just list them. Shantiravyarthakalatvam virakter manashunyata ashabanda samutkantha namagane sadaruchi ashaktistad gunakhyane pritistad vasati stale ityadayonu bhavasyur jata bhavan kure jane. Okay. So, think about each one of these and think about how much you have these, then you will understand how much close you are to Baba. Okay? First thing is kshantir, which means sometimes Prabhupada says forgiveness, sometimes he says humility. Extreme humility, extreme forgiveness, no sense of holding on within the heart to some kind of false conception. This is someone who's in Baba. Avyarthakalatvam, second symptom, they don't waste one moment of time. Prabhupada was going to sleep and he said, now I feel as though I'm just wasting time. No time to waste. So much to do for Krishna, so much activities to engage in, not enough hours in the day to allow me to fulfill my service for Krishna. Therefore, not wasting any time. This is a very practical symptom of Bhava. Virakti means detachment. But not detachment where you force yourself. Detachment which comes very, very naturally because of higher taste. Because of being engaged, being absorbed in something which is far more relishable. Then one feels, well, why would I waste my time with all of these things? Mana shunyata, complete absence of false ego and pride. Do we have that? In the morning we may bow down, in Mana they do like that, they bow down, Trinadapi, Sumijana, bow down to all the Vaishnavas, and when you get up from saying the verse, someone accidentally hits you, and then you look at them like, what's wrong with you? Like, okay, well, we weren't just saying Trinadapi, Sumijana, it's not so easy. Easy to say, who can practice? Mana shunyata. To be completely free from pride, free from ego. No, I've been around, I should be respected, I should be... Like, you should understand the position. This is Vaishnav etiquette, to understand my position. So it's, we expect some kind of recognition. Ashabanda. What does Ashabanda mean? Yes, Prabhu, say that please.
No devotee was named in Ashabanda, but that's...
Oh, you hear the name Ashabanda. That's a good name to have. Ashabanda means hope against hope. Always hopeful. A devotee never thinks, oh no, it's too far, it's too high, it's too difficult, it's too impractical, it's for another lifetime. No. Hope against hope that, yeah, Rupa Goswami says, I have no love, I have no knowledge, I have no good qualification. Practically, Krishna, if you look at me, I don't have anything at all. But still I have an unbreakable hope in my heart that you'll bestow your mercy upon me because, hey Gopi, Janavallabha, Vithayate, Haha Manashevamam, because you're very, very merciful. So that Ashabanda. Then next, Samutkantha. Samutkantha means to always be eager, enthusiastic. Sometimes it's not so enthusiastic, like thick and thin, some days yes, some days not. Get through the morning program somehow or other. they had a badge. I survived the morning program. So sometimes not so much feeling it, we have to drag ourselves through it. But samutkantha, someone in Baba, Their enthusiasm is not waning, their eagerness is not going through ups and downs, it's there, steady, as high as ever. Eager to chant Krishna's names, eager to hear Bhagavatam, eager to serve the deities.
Distribute books.
Eager to distribute books, even in on a rainy day in Paris, when everything. Once we went out on Sankirtan, and everyone was depressed. It was like one of those days, like the energy was down. So I remember the Sankirtan leader, he gets everyone in the group, like, you know, pep talk. Hey, we've got to do it, guys. So he looks at everyone, I remember, I'll never forget it, and it was like, it was raining, everything, we were up, you know. I'm like, quickly say whatever you want to say, we need to like just go in the shopping centre or something, get out of the rain. He gets everyone in the group and he says, the weather is bad, the people are bad, the town is bad. You are bad. We're waiting for some inspiration. You are bad. He goes, the whole situation is bad. The Kali Yuga is bad. But the books are absolutely great. So it's like, okay, everything's bad, but the books are good. The books are good, that's the saving grace. Everything else, we don't know, but... So he said, just go for it. It will all work out. The books are great. So, yeah, eagerness. We got some eagerness after that, some enthusiasm, and it did work out. Sometimes it's funny, actually, on rainy days you can have your best days on Sankirtan. People also see some sincerity in the Vaishnavas. I remember one devotee, it was just pouring down all day, and he just had one umbrella and he was standing in the middle of the street. There was no one in the road. And he was just right in the middle, so like everyone could see. He was just one guy in the middle. And then he'd call people over. And then they'd come over and he'd say like, just hold the umbrella 1 second. Yeah. So then they'd hold the umbrella. And then he would like begin showing them the books and everything, so like in the middle of the rain, you know. It's a huge day, you know, 100 books, something, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yes, eagerness, the language of eagerness. Prabhupada said, even if you don't know the language, but there's a fire, you will communicate it and they will understand it. Mm. Because it's the language of the heart. Shiva Maharaj even talks about how he distributed books without even saying anything. You know that one? He said it was minus 15. I think Chicago or somewhere. I can't remember. Or somewhere in Canada. And he said it was so cold the mouth was frozen. So at one point he had such a desire to distribute books, but he couldn't even take his gloves off to collect Lakshmi, because if you take your glove off in like whatever it is, minus 15, it's like your hand might fall off. So his mouth was frozen, his hands were frozen, but he had such a desire to distribute books, so he went up to someone and he kind of with his glove, he gave a book like that. And he just pointed to their heart. And he pointed like this, the heart. He looked the person in the eyes, and then he just tapped his Lakshmi bag like that. He goes, this book's for you. Krishna's in your heart. Make a donation. And he didn't say anything. And he did it. And he said, I've been all day distributing books like that. Try it out today, they were singing along. It's like, yeah, their potency, you have to focus, see the Paramatma. That was interesting, you know, like, wow, people understand the language of Samut Gandha, intense eagerness. Namagane Sadaruchi, the next symptom of Bhava, great taste for chanting the holy name of Krishna. So many things can be said about that. Shakti stad guna kyane, addiction to glorifying Krishna. Imagine if you become addicted to glorifying Krishna. Addicted. I mean, there's lots of agencies for different types of addictions in the world. To be addicted to glorifying Krishna. Ashaktistad guna kyane pritistad vasati stale. Someone in bhava, another symptom? Pritistad vasati stale. They have a great, intense desire, love for Sri Vrindavan Dham. For the Dham. Love for the Dham, because the Dham is Krishna's own home. Therefore, people have that t-shirt, no? I lost my heart. And Jayavaita Maharaj once looked at someone who had that t-shirt and said, I hope you lost your heart to the right person. lose your hearts to someone else. That's good. But lose your heart to Krishna in Vrindavan, that's the main thing. Everything else is secondary. Pritistad vasati stale tyadayo nubhavasyor jata bhavan kureja. So this is bhava. So you can't say, someone cannot say, oh yes. Sometimes when I'm in a kirtan, I feel like crying. Sometimes in a kirtan, I might have my hair standing on end. Sometimes in kirtan, I just feel like I'm in another world. Maybe the bhava is coming. Okay, that's nice. But then do you have all of these other things? Complete pridelessness, complete detachment, complete indifference, love for Vrindavan, addiction to glorifying Krishna, complete eagerness, hope against hope despite all of our difficulties. This is bhava. This is the substance of bhava. So people often talk about gopi bhava. Gopi bhava. Yes. Goswami is wearing gopi bhava. Gopi bhava dasamrita dhanyahadi. Kalola magna muhur. Yes, they were in gopi bhava, but it wasn't some cheap thing. So what we're hearing about Prahlad and his ecstasy, and it's not a cheap thing. It's very, very deep. It's very, very profound, based on substantial character. So as we hear of Prahlad, then we're praying that we can also develop this taste of Krishna consciousness, which comes from a purified character in which these symptoms of bhava are manifesting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Any questions, comments, applications, concerns? Yes?
this quote that you were saying, that it refers generally to the holy name, you have taste to the holy name, but it does not refer to the other service. So we have to understand that holy name is more important of other service, or should we categorize the holy name on the same level as the other service? Because we can say that if someone likes to cook, it's good. It's like to have taste for holy name. Or someone likes to dress, it's taste for holy name. Or someone distributes books, it's taste for holy name. So, is the holy name is the barometer, or we can swap it, interpolate it with the other services? Or should we consider this is the first thing that we have to look in someone?
Thank you. Next question. So, iti shaudashakam naam kalikalma sanasanam nata parataro paya sarva vedeshi drishyate. This 16 syllable mantra is the means in Kali Yuga to attain Krishna. Hare nama, Hare nama, Hare nama eva kevalam, kalama steva nasteva nasteva. It must be. The holy name is the only way. There's no other way. However, all the seva that we do for Krishna is also supporting that. But all of the seva that we do for Krishna should allow us to chant the holy name with more absorption. Then we can understand that the seva is actually being done in the right mood and is having the fruit. All of your book distribution, all of the seva that we do, ultimately it should help us to come back to the holy name, to chant the holy name with absorption. Because that is the Yuga Dharma. So, chanting the holy name well and doing your service well both go hand in hand. When you chant the holy name well, then your service will be done better. And when your service is being done in the right consciousness, then it will help you to chant the holy name better. And in all services that we're doing, everything is always accompanied by the holy name in Kali Yuga. So when we're worshipping the deities, it's accompanied by the holy name. When you're distributing books in between people, you can chant the holy name. When you're cutting vegetables, you chant the holy name. So everything can be accompanied. So they support each other. But specifically for the sadhaka in Kali Yuga, the holy name is the means and by which they access Krishna in his most accessible form. And therefore a taste for the holy name must be there. Because if that taste for the holy name is not there, the holy name is the way and the means to attain Krishna. So one time Indraduna Maharaj said, all the austerity, all the knowledge, all the service, everything that we're doing is just so that one day you can sit in one corner of the room, chant one holy name of Krishna and experience one genuine teardrop of love fall from your eyes when you chant Krishna's name. So, therefore, you have made yourself so Namakari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis. You are present in all of your holy names. Niyamita Smaranena Kala. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting. But what's the problem? Na Anuraga.
No taste.
Na Anuraga. Have no anurag, have no taste. So that's the problem. So we're praying for one drop of taste. If that taste for the, if that faith and taste for the holy name is there, everything else will come. Therefore Prabhupada said when he came off the ship, Bhakti nahi bedi nahi kub na andaro. I have no knowledge, I have no devotion, but one thing I do have is strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. So yeah, you must manifest in strong faith for the holy name of Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, all right.
Okay, je dois forcer pour toute ta vie. En fait, quelqu'un m'a dit, ok, mais je fais juste toute la journée chanter, je ne peux pas servir et tout ça, parce que dans le holy name, il y a tout.
When we say, I will chant all day long, I will not do service because everything is in the holy name. You understand?
Yeah. So is that okay?
Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once put an advert in the newspaper. Everyone invited to come and live in the math. All you have to do is chant Krishna's names and glorify Krishna all day. We will give you all meals and we will give you all residence. And you know how many people came?
One.
How many people came? Zero. So the fact of the matter is, if you're able to do that with absorption, great. That's what Haridas Thakur was doing. But factually, no one is having that kind of taste and qualification to just chant all day. Will become. We will not be able to maintain absorption, attention. Therefore, Krishna comes in so many ways to help us be engaged. Krishna comes in the form of the deity to give us the opportunity to do seva. And by being in contact with the deity, by serving the deity, then we get so much opportunity to be absorbed, and then after worshipping the deity with attention, with care, with love, with affection, then we go to chant the holy name, we have more. We have, because we've served Krishna, so we have some mercy. You see, when you put your hand in your bead bag, the question is, how much mercy are you carrying to chant the holy name of Krishna? Therefore, Krishna appears, for example, as Parishishvara, Radha Parishishvara, to give us an opportunity to do seva, so that we can carry Krishna's mercy with us and then chant Krishna's name with genuine feeling. So, Krishna appears in so many forms to give us mercy. And when we engage in those different activities of bhakti, and then we chant, then we are able to chant with better quality. So, yeah. So therefore Prabhupada created ISKCON with so many activities. Book distribution, worship of the Archa Vigraha, so many things, because all of these things help us to then chant. So we should not take anything casually. It's a great opportunity to purify our hearts. We can become very familiar, you see. The biggest problem in spiritual life is we become very, very familiar. We become familiar with Krishna in the form of his books. We become very, very familiar with Krishna as the Vaishnavas who are in Krishna, who have Krishna within their heart, and we become very, very familiar with the deities Krishna has appeared. So this is a very big problem, because familiarity means inattentiveness, and inattentiveness means offense. And offense means you lose mercy. And when you lose mercy, you have no taste for chanting the holy name of Krishna. So we must appreciate all the opportunities of service that have come to us by Srila Prabhupada's grace in ISKCON, because they help us to chant the holy name purely. Without that service, we will not be able to chant.
Yes. There is one devotee whose name is Radharaman. He lives in south of France with his parents. He was initiated by Parangati Prabhu, if you know him.
Yeah.
And he was a laureate. Laureate? No, number one.
No,
in naturopathy.
Oh, okay.
And he's a... I don't know, you also in English, kidney therapist, you know, he's massaging people in hospitals. And he explained to me once, he said to me, when someone is little sick, he will do, you know, very little, he will do everything to become healthy again. Right? For example, I know I give you an example. My sister, which is already very, very thin, as soon as she catches 1 kg weight, she will drastically cut her food to come back to the weight she wants. But when one is very sick,
yeah,
he will do everything which will make him more sick. I'll give you the example of the fatty guy. He will not take one carrot. He will start eating more and more. So what is the hope?
What is the hope for
him? Is the hope, you know? When we have turned to becoming, you know, far from what you should be, what is the, is there some...
But you also see, no? Like some people who have that problem, then they turn it around. Some people do turn it around.
You do something. Actually, because I have one example.
Yeah, so,
I have one example.
Yeah.
If we can say, because we are in the way. There is one devotee, he was in Mayapur. And he came to 140 kgs. You know, he was terribly heavy. And what he did, finally, he decided, it was a question of life or death. So what he did, he just survived on dab. You know what is dab? You know, coconut.
Oh, okay.
That's the only thing he was eating, you know. And I told him, you must be so courageous to do this. He told me, it's not a matter of courage. When it's a matter of life or death, then you do the things. And I think he lost 40, 50, 60 kgs, something like that. But he told me, I'm always hungry. But he was just, at a certain point, he just did that.
I think it can work both ways. Sometimes when someone is going a little bit off, then because the realization that they're going off is not so strong, they may just continue going more and more off. But when someone goes so far off, sometimes it comes to a point where one looks at their life and thinks, oh my God, I've gone completely off. And then that shock makes them come back. So I think it can work both ways. Maya has unlimited tricks. So Maya will trick you to, when you're going a little bit off, to go more off. And when you're a lot off, she'll trick you to stay off. She could trick you, and anyone can be tricked at any point. Therefore, Vaishnava Sangha. That's why I said yesterday, sadhu is in your life, who you have a friendship with, and love for, and respect for. Because they can bring you. Kala Krishna Das, no? He went, he strayed, but Mahaprabhu caught him by the Sika, brought him back. Balabhadra Bhattacharya also was with Mahaprabhu as his servant, but he got involved in some speculation. Mahaprabhu brought him back. So their great qualification, what was their great qualification? That they were close to Mahaprabhu. We must stay close to the Vaishnavas. Therefore Narottam says, Tadera charane se vipastasa nevas janame e janame hoi e yavilas. To serve the Vaishnavas, to live with the Vaishnavas, difficult as it is, not so easy to live with the Vaishnavas. No, I'm not saying it's difficult to live with you. The Vaishnavas, can't live with them, can't live without them. Sometimes very difficult, no? To live with the devotees, like so many challenges, you know. Snoring.
Light. Chin chin.
Snoring, noise, different personalities, arguments. Very difficult. We were saying in New Mayapur, every community of Vaishnavas is like a sabji. Yeah, understand. Some are like chilies. Some people in the Sangha. Chili, right? It just takes the pot. Some Vaishnavas are like salt, they're in the background. But when the salt is not there, nothing, you can't taste anything. But they never get recognition. When was the last time you had some prasad and said, wow, Prabhu, amazing. The salt was amazing. No one will say, no? But if the salt is not there, the first thing, where's the salt? Some Vaishnavas are like salt. Some Vaishnavas are like turmeric. They give the colour. More colour, very eccentric. Some turmeric sometimes also. Some are like sugar, sweet, very sweet. So anyway, everything is required in a sabji. All spices are needed. As long as they complement and don't clash. So anyway, the devotee said to Prabhupada, I don't know how I can tolerate this devotee anymore, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you have to tolerate him just as I am tolerating you. So we think everyone has to, we have to tolerate everyone, but everyone is also tolerating us. So I think only when you're in good sangha. Therefore this Vaishnav Sangha again and again is glorified in Shastra. This is the life. If you think, Prabhupada said, if you think you can be Krishna conscious outside the Sangha of Vaishnavas, you're mad. You're crazy. Then you're truly Bhagavan. Truly mad.
Actually, we can see the case of